Christ our victory.
We have thought about the terrible events and the glorious events that will take place right up to the coming of Christ. Last week we thought about the victory. In imagination we watched the saints, we watched ourselves, marching in through those pearly gates into the very presence of God to prostrate in adoration before His presence. This week we are to round out our studies by considering how Jesus Christ, our victory, is ready to share that victory with us. Amos chapter 4 is a succession of predictions. God says to His servants, I will send famine, yet you didn't return. I will send drought, I will send flood, yet you didn't return. I destroyed some cities, pestilence, war, yet you didn't return. Therefore, prepare to meet thy God. In other words, all these signs and symbols and symptoms that we have considered during the 12 previous weeks of this quarter are just to urge upon us the necessity, the vital necessity, day by day, to be ready to meet God, face to face, unafraid, not to be condemned, not to be destroyed, but to be welcomed. Part number one, an experiential knowledge. This is life eternal, Jesus said, that they might know Thee, that is God the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. There are two words for know in Greek. One means to have book knowledge, theoretical. The other is to have experienced knowledge, experimental knowledge. This is the kind of knowledge that Jesus Christ is urging. We are to have an experiential, that is, we are to have experiences in it, in experimental godliness. What does that mean? How can we experience God? How can we check and experiment with God? Let's learn the science of prayer. And in science, there are all kinds of experiments. Let's ask. Let's trust God. Let's pray to Him for specifics. Let's observe His providence in our lives. Let us see how He brings obstacles to our desires and plans. Let us examine in retrospect what would have happened if He hadn't stopped us from doing something. Let us observe how we have been led through certain doors. And when we look back, seeing the end from the beginning, we are so glad that we went His way and not our way. Let's saturate our minds with the Bible stories, so that we can see the experience of others who have lived before us. And thus we gain an experiential knowledge of God's providence. Warning is, let not the wise man glory that he's smart. Let not the man of power and prestige and influence glory in his might. Let not the rich man throw his money around and think he can buy everything. But the important thing, God says, is to understand and know Me. And what are we to know about Him? His loving kindness, His justice, and His righteousness. Justice, giving to every man his due. Righteousness, living according to the straight edge. How many times we fall, how many times we should be condemned, but we are to understand His loving kindness. Prodigal understood it. Prodigal knew, My Father, He'll take me back. So our experiential knowledge of God should give us courage that in spite of our weaknesses and failures and falls and foibles, there is hope, power available to us. Part number two. Knowledge is personal. Most knowledge is not transferable. I remember hearing Dr. Albright and Johns Hopkins say this many years ago. He knew 35 or 36 languages. He could lecture in 9. And he expressed some regret in one class period that he couldn't share this with his students. If he could just open their minds and pour his linguistic ability right into them. My favorite violinist is Yasha Heifetz. I remember the first time I heard him on a phonograph record as a teenager. He thrilled my soul. He still does, in the tones he can produce from his violin. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that mind, those fingers, and that muscular coordination could be shared in toto with thousands of other violinists? But this cannot be. That kind of skill, that kind of knowledge, is not transferable. Neither is Christian living. It's a personal matter. As we already studied this quarter, though Noah, Daniel, Job, Moses, and Samuel were in it, sons and daughters wouldn't be benefited. They could teach, they could witness, but they cannot share. We must gain personally a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ in you. This is a personal relationship that I can gain only by wanting to, only by praying my way through to it. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. If I hunger and thirst after righteousness, I will be satisfied. Bread is there, the water of life is there. Jesus Christ says, come to me, and I'll graft you in, so that the fibers of your being will become fibers of the true vine, so that the sap of the true vine will flow through the branches to bring forth fruit. This personal relationship is only gained by longing, wanting, surrendering, and accepting. Part number three. Christ's rulership of our lives. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. That means I have died to self. I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And the life that I am now living as a human being, I live by the vital faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. Now, how does Christ live in me? Let me share with you my understanding. Take for an example that I am an impatient man. I am not ready to suffer fools gladly. I encounter an exasperating person. I want to give him a bit of my mind and call him the sort of person that he really is, that I think so. But then I hear what Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I say instead, Father, instead of letting me give him a bit of my mind, let me give him a bit of Christ's mind. Now what did Christ do when he met exasperating people? When they spat in his face? When they twisted his words, when they impugned his motives, when they took his body and nailed it to the cross. What was his mind at that time? Father, forgive. What was his generosity? They know not what they do. And so by prayer, by a desire to imitate Christ, by a willingness on my part to relinquish the ego trip my temper tantrum would have given me, I say, Lord, help me to be like Christ. And I say that now, as I am studying, as I am making this recording, Lord, help me to be like Jesus. At the moment, I have no temptation to be exasperated. It may be an hour from now or a day from now. But because I pray now, because I want now, because I move into a personal relationship with Jesus now, His presence in the hour of temptation will be vital and will give me success. Part number 4 deals with the role of the will. The role of the will. Ellen White says that the saints should be taught the right use of the will. I must choose to surrender. Jesus stands at the door. Jesus is knocking. And He says to me, if you hear my voice and open, I don't have to open, but I can will to open. We may will to listen. We may will to open. We may will to sup. He says, I have set before you blessing and cursing, life and death, loving God and loving Mammon. If any man wills to come after me, if he denies himself and takes up his cross, destroys himself and follows me, this is my part. I must follow. I can drag my feet, but I can follow if I choose to. I can go away. Judas went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. I can choose to do that any time. I can exercise my will. And I can pray, Lord, I'm believing partly. Help my unbelief. Lord, I am willing partly. Help my unbelief. So what I'm trying to emphasize here is the need for a meditative approach to my relationship to Jesus Christ in all the nitty-gritty, in all the rough and tumble of life. Am I allowing Jesus to live out His life in me? Am I wanting it? Am I praying for it? Am I saying to Him, Lord, let me be the sort of man that Jesus Christ is? And then His grace and the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me will strengthen my will, will buttress my resolution. Part number 5, the great source of life, the abiding Spirit. The words teach the theory. The Spirit empower the will to practice the theory. If we purpose continually to abide, my word, my spirit, my idealism, my grace, my power. Part number 6, prayer and watchfulness. This is a daily, an hourly, a moment by moment awareness. When consciousness comes to us, there's danger. Let's pray. We should habituate ourselves to pray at various times. When I put the key in my automobile to start it, I pray. When I open the Bible, when I open a book to study, I pray. When I get ready to tape these Sabbath school lessons, I pray. That God will help, that His power, His wisdom, His pre-knowledge, that may anticipate my dangers and my temptations and my pitfalls, the presence of Satan, might be here in my mind by His Spirit, opening before me possibilities of victory. Then I must watch. There are certain times of danger. Just as I come in a crowded freeway, looking ahead, seeing red lights blinking, there's danger, watching. So in the spiritual life, by the eye salve of the Spirit, my eyes must be open to watch. By the exercise of my will, I must call upon Jesus Christ. And He will do for me exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. When these great events portrayed in this lesson come to their consummation, I want to be with Jesus and the Father, and with you in the earth made new.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.